But before we start this Advent story, let me pray a few words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Now this Advent story is strange in many ways. Luke is the only gospel writer that actually starts with John the Baptist, which is unusual. But this story is very important to Luke. So it must be very important to us. Now, Luke in 1-5 has written up an account of things that have been fulfilled, and that he has investigated all these things from the beginning. Now, Luke was a learned man. We are told he was a physician, so he would have been well trusted. And the information he has put together was from witnesses of that time and that place. Now, after the introduction, Luke goes straight into the story of John the Baptist and of Zechariah and Elizabeth. If this story is so important, as I said, to Luke, it must be very important to us. A story that we have heard many, many times. Some of us have been going to church now for 30, 40 years, and every Christmas we hear the same story. This is a story of Advent. This is a story of promise, fulfilled and prayers answered. Promises made by God, and that has been fulfilled by God. To help us understand, I've got a little story for you. There was once a mum and a little boy. They used to go to their church every year to prepare for the nativity. And while they were preparing in this Christmas nativity in their church, he was learning his lines. And one day he interrupted his mother, saying, "Mum, can we change the story? We've heard this one before. We have it every year." "Same story? Yeah, no doubt about that. But what a story. What a phenomenal story. It's the same story we've heard many times. We have to guard against our familiarity with this story, and so blinding us to the richness of it. Familiarity has a way of doing that to you. Some take it as far as to say, familiarity breeds contempt. That is a bit strong. Familiarity does blind us. Familiarity makes us dull. We do not take in the detail. Our attention wanders. So let us guard against that happening to us during this Advent. Let us stay awake. Take all the heart and mind pictures we can, and not lose our capacity to marvel at this unique breaking into human life to make for the coming of the Lord. We have come to a time of Advent where we recount the story of Jesus' birth. But Luke starts his story a bit earlier and recounts the story of a couple, namely Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were very devout and both very old, a bit like me. But Zechariah was a priest, and Elizabeth came from the daughter of Aaron, and both were righteous before the Lord. Now, many years have passed, and a great deal of prayer had taken place. Zechariah, a priest, had been chosen by lot. He had no idea that he would be on duty until the result. But God did. And we read in verse 10, there were a whole multitude of people. They were praying, waiting on God's promises. If the birth of Christ to borrow Zacharias' metaphor, was the dawn from on high. Then chapter 1 of the Gospel covers the last few hours before the sunrise. The night had been long for Israel, and as sometimes it very dark. But through it all, through times of national success, disaster, through conquest, monarchy, through the exile and return, hope had persisted that the night would at last would end. And as Malachi put it, the sun of righteousness would arise with the healing in his wings. That's in Malachi 4:2. And now, more than 400 years after Malachi, the seemingly endless night was coming to an end. Dawn was about to break. Great preparations were being put into place and plans laid in the eternal. The past began to be cleared. The forerunner had to be born. A certain Zachariah and his wife Elizabeth, long since chosen to be his parents, had now to be advised of the coming birth and told how to bring up the child in the strict discipline appropriate to the unique Elijah-like ministry that he was destined to fulfill. You can see that in Luke 1, 13-17. That is the setting and the story. Let us look in detail and implication. Note the first response of Zechariah to the angel's visit. In verse 12, he says, Zechariah was troubled, but when he saw him, he was startled, and fear fell upon him. Does that say something to us? These are two emotions that we are maybe familiar with. So we can understand Zechariah's response. Surprise? Fear? Yes. Zechariah was a priest in the temple, functioning there at the altar, day in and day out, as his tour of duty arose. Did he not expect God to be present there? Did he expect God to be present there? Like, do nothing? Not to say anything? Not to break in with any sort of startling interruption to life? Or startling news about life? In his novel, The Clouds of God, Maurice West, S.G. Murray, a former pope, said, "The biggest mistake we have made through the ages is try to explain the ways of God to man. We should not do that. We should just announce him. He explains himself very well." He does. God explains himself in his actions and his word. And Zechariah knew that, as we do, Zechariah knew about the mighty acts of God. In the history of his people, because God is the God of history, he remembers the deliverance, or knows about the deliverance of the Egyptian captivity, the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, the gift of God's promised land, God's activity through judges, kings, prophets. Zechariah knew the story. He knew God had acted, that God intervened, and sometimes that intervention was dramatic, sometimes very personal. The coming and going between heaven and earth has always been, the angels are always busy doing God's business. How God has always been involved with his people. We can see that in Genesis 11, in Genesis 19, and of course there are so many that we could mention. And of course, not to leave out the very special people visited by the angels at this Advent time. The shepherds, Mary and Joseph. All this tells us of God's promises, his love, which we do not deserve, And all this is beyond our understanding. We are loved, we are his people. And that relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden, and now that isolation was now in the process of being repaired. God's promises made 700 years before the Messiah coming. In Isaiah, the prophet makes this prophecy in chapter 40, verse 3. Says a voice, cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This takes us towards Calvary, to our salvation. The pre-existent and eternal Son of God came to our world and became a man like us, so he might secure for us here in this world forgiveness, wholeness, peace with God, and the certainty that God's will be done on earth, even here as it is in heaven. So Luke takes us on a journey of wonder and awe. We begin with Zechariah in the temple in verses 8 and 10. We've heard the story read to us. God was about to get very involved in a very personal way. We're talking about the good news that was to come. Angel Gabriel was sent by God to tell Zechariah that he and his wife were soon to have a child. And Zechariah refused to believe the angel. That is the setting and the story. Let's look at it in detail and in medication. Note the first response of Zechariah to the visit of the angel, verse 12. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. The angel was speaking to him. He was startled, yes. Zechariah was startled. Surprised, yes. That the angel would speak to him. We are told that he was filled with fear. Well, that may not be necessarily an improper response. We could say that he was fearful, or maybe a sense of awe swept over him. Anytime God is around, anytime we get close to him, or he gets close to us, we might well be afraid. Afraid is not a negative sense, but aware of the awesome situation in which we are in, that the Almighty is visiting us. Note the second thing about Zechariah's response. He did not believe the angel's message. And you know, I believe that. I can understand it. The angel Gabriel said in verse 18, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God. This is God's messenger. Awesome. I was sent to speak to you and bring you the good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which were fulfilled in their time. A rebuke. Yes, it was definitely a rebuke. But that is all. Unbelief, yes. I always remember when I read Mark 9:24, where it says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Here's Gabriel saying to Zechariah, you haven't believed me, but it's going to happen. And as proof that it's going to happen is this. From now until 9 months ahead, until then you won't be able to speak or hear until the baby is born. When he came out of the temple, he tried so hard to tell others what had happened, but couldn't. That was a sign that God gave Zechariah. He was speechless, he couldn't hear. This baby is very special. Not only has God planned the way he is to live his life, but his lifestyle is also laid out. But also he gave his name John. He named him John. The only other time I know that's happened is with Jesus. God is in control. This is God's plan. It's going forward. It's all happening. John was under God's authority. John is important. When Jesus was asked about his cousin John, he said this: he's the greatest man that has ever been born. And in verses 15 to 17, God says that this is what he will do, how he will live his life, how he will conduct himself, and how he will affect and be a greatest benefit to mankind. This is all part of God's plan. John is there for a purpose. God's plan is being put forward and brought about. So John and Jesus have lived lives planned by God and the Father. We know there was a great deal going on during Zechariah and his conversation with the angel. The one thing was a whole multitude praying outside at the hour of incense. We know that. There had been a lot of praying. And the multitude would have been praying for Zechariah while he was in the temple. And Zechariah and Elizabeth would have been praying for the son most of his married life. I'm pretty sure that in latter years they would have given up. Mainly because of their age, I should have thought. But what did the angel Gabriel say to Zechariah? "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and she will call his name John." God's timing is not our timing. When Elizabeth received the good news, she was so thrilled to be used by God. For her, it meant a lot. A disgrace taken away, well, such was the culture of those days. It was a disgrace for a woman not to have children. There are a couple of points I would like to take away with you. First of all, answer prayer. In Revelation 5:8, it states this: "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." All our prayers are secure, and our prayers will be answered if they are in God's will, and it will be in God's timing. Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayers were answered. They had joy and gladness, but in God's time, not theirs. All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ, and God is a faithful God. So I leave you with a piece of scripture. Where our hope is, I think we could safely say John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." This is the good news that John was preparing the way for. God is in control of history and nature. A barren woman having a child, not the first time, parting of the Red Sea, walking on water, that's God's way. God is in control. Never be surprised. And all I ask you now is that as we come into Advent, is hope in your hearts and minds. This is a special time. We're looking at it with hindsight, but when you think of Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had it all to come. We can look back and say, yeah, the Lord is gracious, he's answered our prayers. Zechariah and Elizabeth, childless for so many years, and all of a sudden, they have a son. A son that was going to do wonderful things, make way for the Lord. So I'll leave that with you now. God is gracious. God is loving. God makes promises, keeps promises. God is faithful. He's all things. And you have every right to say, Father, Abba, I love you. Let me find. Let me pray. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you all. Amen.